yesterday we started a conversation around the Blade complex. That's the residential complex in Pretoria. There are issues around overcrowding of the lagoon area by guests from short-term letting apartments. Concerns around the gross systematic abuse of the access code system and the instances of illegal short-term letting of apartments, as well as the illegal sale of visitor access. These are some of the reasons why the Blade Homeowners Association has put in place stringent measures at the residential development. Now, Blade, which is also known as the Pretoria Beach, has been criticized by short-term letters for limiting access control, for increasing levies and extra charges to access the lagoon. And I saw in a statement yesterday that the Blade Homeowners Association and Baldwin Properties said that they're even considering prohibiting short-term letting at the Blade. So we thought we should bring in Ruben Pala, who is representing short-term letters. Ruben is with the LN Mutimele Attorneys. Thank you for making time, Ruben. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, and good morning.
Yeah. So when this was launched, this development in 2016, I remember that people were being lured via marketing and even in in-person showroom viewings to buy and use the properties for personal use or even as an investment property on both long-term and short-term and short-term basis through holiday booking sites such as Airbnb and Booking.com. But looking at what the property owners are considering now, prohibiting the short-term letting, that's not going to, you know, bode well for the people that purchased properties there.
In as much as our law firm will not necessarily want to litigate through the media and go through the intricate details, but I've been instructed to come and first mention that since then, yesterday morning, short-term letting people have met with the HOA to try and find a compromise. Therefore, it will not be fair for us to say Baldwin at this stage has not come forward to try and resolve the problem now. And there should be negotiations, and this matter is actually currently before CISOs, and we hope to find a resolution there. But having said that, if we were to look at it in general terms, if people have invested in more than 200 units at an average of 1.5 million rand, you can do the math. It's no longer about Sipo who wants to let his property. It's now about a whole business venture, and not a small one. And in the country where we are trying to encourage employment and we are trying to encourage entrepreneurship and the starting of small businesses, I don't think this argument flies that you will now suddenly switch off the tap and say, now this is all of a sudden residential. It's something that needs to be looked at. It's something that we all have to look at carefully and not rush into this. And that is why all parties need to sit down, look at this, and find a best fit method for that complex. Is perhaps if this you were talking about any other complex, maybe that argument will fly. But in this situation, we all know that the Blade has since gone into be a tourist attraction and more of a leisure environment. That you don't necessarily buy your property there to stay there in most instances. People who are now complaining about this are those who bought either to invest, either to stay over the holidays. They always have the same effect.
So what compromises are the short-term letters willing to make, because as you say, a lot of them bought these properties at the Blade so that they can rent them out, so that they can get holiday makers coming through. What compromises are they willing to make? Because some of the people who are raising families there are saying it can be so noisy and it can be so overcrowded, and they live there and that is disturbs their peace.
But to simply allude the noisy and all of that to short-term lending, it's not stating facts. I mean, if a person has got a one-bedroom apartment and he's only allowed two codes, and those two codes allows two guests into the apartment, and those guests are not allowed to call further guests. So therefore, the argument now that says this short-term lending people bring lots of people. It's neither here nor there. Therefore, it's clear that tells you that the people who can invite guests, actually, as a matter of fact, is the very people who are living in there. So if a person lives there, he's got an access to an app which he can invite guests and allow people into the estate. But a person who's just visited through short-term lending cannot, because they don't have access to that app. Even the owners of those short-term lending do not have, some of them do not have access to that app. So then that argument does not fly. And given that, if you see what the short-term lending people are saying, that, well, there is already a hotel operating there, either directly or indirectly, if you look at the letter that was released calling for a special AGM, it alludes to a hotel being there. And there's also talk of a hotel that can be built there. So if you are now already saying, here is a hotel, the question is, how many units will that hotel have? If that hotel is having 100 units and the one that is currently there perhaps is having another 100 units, what difference does it make? If Joe only has got a unit that's got two people, how then do you let Joe close business for noise and you are letting XYZ, who has got a big organization with 100 units, to continue with short-term letting? The very nature of a hotel is short-term letting. There's no way about it, no matter how you write it. If you go to a hotel, you're staying there 2 days, you're out. The same situation as you would have done at Joe's apartment.
Yeah. So how many people actually are long-term owners? So they live there versus those that are renting out the properties. And I'm asking that question because from the statement that Baldwin Properties sent out yesterday, there's going to be a meeting on the 11th of October and they'll be voting on whether to prohibit short-term letting.
I think that's also the one thing that everybody must clear. For starters, when you buy properties in HOA, you are not buying properties in HOA as a category of a person. You are buying a property into an HOA as a member of the HOA, because the community schemes ombuds and the CISOs, like, is very clear. The people who can be members of a homeowners association is the developer himself who started the whole thing, and the rest of the members, not any other category. So you cannot now say Sipo is staying permanently, Peter is letting, James is only having a 6-month tenant. That is unfair discrimination of the members of an HOA. The HOA should treat all its members equally. But further going forward, it's not something that we want to ventilate now from our side, from legal side, but there is a question that perhaps, academically speaking, one ought to be looking at what does the Sectional Title Act do in preventing this kind of situations. In normal terms, if Peter would want to make a development of 10 units, when he goes and registers an HOA after selling one unit, his view is, his posture is that he will sell and exit, and that unit, that township will now self-govern. Because the moment you create, you subdivide land, you create a township, that township should govern, that township should have its own rules, that township should live according to what that township does. But now, if a situation where, for example, developers will then become a member of the HOA, not to exit, but to stay, our law is very shaky as to what happens then. But then if that developer, for example, could have more votes than anybody else, then what do we have now? Are we still having an HOA that is fair for everybody to go to an AGM and vote and make a rule? Or even if, are we simply going to call an AGM and go to that AGM and simply rubber stamp what Peter is doing, knowing that he's got more votes than everybody else? I think all parties at this stage, and as rightfully done since yesterday by Baldwin, needs to sit down and look at the business model. It doesn't really matter who's got how many shares or not, but when people sit down, they must look at, why do you have a community? I don't think you're having a community to say those who can afford more should be, have got more rights than others, and those who can afford less in the community, therefore they do not enjoy amenities of that community than those who have got more.
Yeah, Ruben, we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming through, and we'll wait to hear what compromises the owners and the developers are reaching when it comes to that Blyde estate.